Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Adore.fm, and ChiroRadio.com, and wherever else podcasts are available. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 305, what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. I don't know how I got mixed up there. It's 305 episode number. Numbers are hard, people. We've got a couple of things to talk about. A special guest this week going to be joining us from the Crocodile, BJ, the Chicago Kid. Had a wonderful chat with this guy, guy is very, very talented, man. And we're going to be featuring songs from his new album out on Motown Records. It's called In My Mind, and it's available now. You can go to his website at bjtck.com and get yourself a copy. I highly, highly recommend it. And we're going to be talking about the new album, talking about how he got signed with Motown, his collaborations with Kanye West and Kendrick Lamar, and all sorts of stuff, man. His faith, a little bit about his faith and family. A lot about the family, man. Cool guy, man. Cool guy. But one thing we want to get to before we get started on this very late episode is this article that I just happened to come by on the New York Times. The New York Times, nonetheless. This is something that I have thought about endlessly ever since I started going to the dentist when I was a wee little child, flossing. Everybody knows about flossing, right? Your dentist asks you if you've been flossing on a regular basis. Everybody lies and says yes. When in actuality, I think this is pretty normal. You only floss about a week ahead of time, right? Try to get your gums, a little tenderized or whatever you want to say. A little used to the pressure, to the pain. That's what I do anyway. And a couple years back, I did my own little experiment, right? I flossed for like a month straight every day to see if it would hurt less when I went to the dentist. It did not. I was religious about it, man. I was flossing like twice a day for a month and wasn't really bleeding anymore, right? And I go to the dentist and sure enough, still fucking hurts, man. Still hurts, and they still say, you need to floss more. You need to floss more. Well, this study came out recently on the New York Times, and the New York Times wrote about it, how flossing may not actually do anything for you. There's a great quote right in here. Great quote. I'll read it here. If it's any consolation, there is some mediocre evidence that flossing does reduce bloody gums and inflammation known as gingivitis. That Cochrane Review found that regular brushers and flossers had less gum bleeding than people who had only brushed, although the authors cautioned that the quality of the evidence was very low. So we're working on junk science. Dentists are working on junk science. And I apologize if any dentists are out there listening to this. But this has been something that I have thought about for a very long time. That flossing really doesn't do much for you. Now, if you get something stuck in between your teeth, of course, they're saying, conventional wisdom says that if you can get that junk out, that's a good thing, right? You don't want rotting food in between your teeth. This is very gross. I apologize. But nobody really knows if it actually deters like periodontitis or gingivitis. Periodontitis, of course, is when you start bone loss, right? And that's a bad thing. But nobody actually knows if it does anything for your teeth. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take this new information to my dentist the next time I go in. I'm going to say, hey, look, quit pushing this on me, man. What do you think? How do you think this comes about, right? Is this big floss? Is this big floss that's pushing their agenda on the American people? I don't know. But maybe, you know, with this newfound evidence, we can go forward better as a society, that we don't have to put up with the pain anymore of hearing our dentists tell us that we're not flossing enough. So now we can go in, we can be armed with the information that says, you know what? I don't have to, man. I don't have to. And I'm super happy about that. I am very happy about that. Anyway, I digress. This week's episode 305 going up a couple days late, man. I'm really sorry about this. But just, you know, things at home take precedent, right? Family is the most important thing. We have been, well, not me, but the kiddos have been sick. The wife has been sick. And so it's been kind of tiring over here, to tell you the truth. And we've been taking care of things, man. But on with our chat with BJ the Chicago Kid. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. The first I kind of heard of him was when I was contacted asking if we wanted to do this interview. I checked him out, and sure enough, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. He's got a very unique style for nowadays. He's kind of going back to that Motown sound, man. And the first song that we're going to be playing here off of his new album called In My Mind on Motown Records, nonetheless, his first full length on Motown, is a tribute to Marvin Gaye. And this is a large part of his style is kind of singing in that Motown sound, that soul sound, man. And I really, really dig it. His album, by the way, the rest of his album is very eclectic. It's a mix of all sorts of different styles, man. You've got like indie rock in there a little bit. You've got soul, you've got R&B, you've got hip hop, you've got rap. It's amazing. Some of the songs that he's done in the past, he's collaborated heavily with Kendrick Lamar, who I'm sure everybody is aware of, and also Kanye West, man. Kanye West, yeah, pretty cool. Guy is he's young, and he's basically just starting his solo career, which is super impressive already. He was on tour here, coming through Seattle, played the Crocodile. One of the things that we do have to mention, let's see, speaking of the Crocodile, we did this interview in the bar at the Crocodile. So there is a lot of background noise. There's music playing in the background. You can hear the clinking of glasses and everything like that. I think I even accidentally bump my mic and it falls over at one point. So, you know what? Deal with it. But this is a fantastic conversation with BJ the Chicago Kid. If you'd like to see BJ, he is on tour right now. Let's see. Tomorrow, the 3rd of August, Santa Cruz, California at the Catalyst. August 5th, Las Vegas, Nevada at Vinyl at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I'll be there on the 5th. Oh, my God. That's Friday. I'm going to be there. Maybe I'll go see him again. The 6th, Scottsdale, Arizona at the Pub Rock. The 7th in Santa Ana, California, Constellation Room at the Observatory. West Hollywood, California on the 9th at the Roxy Theater. And then in Seoul, Korea at Jazzmill Sports Complex. Wow, on the 13th. And then back in the United States. Wow, man, this guy's going all over the place. On the 19th at Jackson R&B Festival in Jackson, Missouri. Okay, so there you go. Go and check him out. Also, go to bjtck.com to see all of the upcoming tour dates right there on his website. Okay. You got to check this out. You got to check more of this guy out. Please promise me that you're going to do that. because, like I said before, very talented and great stuff. And I love that soul, man. I need to do more homework on soul music. I really do. Let's see, one of the great bands coming out of Seattle right now, Grace Love and the True Loves. Fantastic soul sound, kind of taking things back to that, like, that early 60s sound, man, and really playing, like, kind of stripped down instruments. You know, you got a horn section, you got drums, you got bass, you got some keys in there, and what did I say? Stripped down? That doesn't make sense. Big band style, right? With a fantastic singer at the helm, and awesome guitar players. I mean, God, just touch my soul. That stuff just touches my soul. I love it. If you haven't heard Grace Love and the True Loves, you got to hear them too. We had them on the show a little while back, so go through the archives at air-raid.net. You can find that. If you're interested in hearing, if this is the first time you've tuned into Air Raid, hearing more from hip-hop acts and stuff like that, you can go to our archives page at air-raid.net or at spreaker.com. Type air-raid into the search bar. You can find it right there. We've had people on like Blackalicious, Jurassic 5, Raz Simone, Macklemore, a whole bunch of different hip-hop, rap, soul acts, man, there for your listening pleasure. So if you'd like to hear any more interviews like this one, without the background sound, or the background noise, I should say, then go and check that out. Okay, well, let's get into it, shall we? Let's play our first musical break. Like I said before, we're going with music from the new album, In My Mind, out now on Motown Records by BJ the Chicago Kid. This one's called Turning Me Up, a tribute to Marvin Gaye. And we'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, BJ the Chicago Kid. All right. Turning Me Up. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Doing to me, yeah. how does one get to this spot, man?
The spot I'm thinking of, what? There's many ways I can answer that.
It's pretty open-ended, but I was looking through your quote-unquote resume today. Mm-hmm. You've collaborated with people like Kanye West. You've mm-hmm. Collaborated with Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
And from all accounts, it's like you are one hard-working dude.
Yeah.
In the music industry.
Very much so.
And you've been at it for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does one get there?
Definitely the word you said, hard-working guy. I think when we say hard work, though, a lot of people don't see the long time span of hard work or how long it should be. I think anybody that is even far more successful than me would definitely agree when they say your definition in your mind when you hear the words hard work, it's that times 50, though, you know?
Sure.
It's not just, oh, man, I can imagine, yeah, missing a couple funerals, weddings, crazy things, you know, this, yeah, no, it's way deeper than that. You sacrifice so much, from time to music to friendship to risking it all to get a little just to start building a brick to lay a palace, you know?
Sure.
It's a lot of work, but this is something that I love, man. I've grown to love in life the pain that comes with the growth and the progress.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the results, yeah.
So from like a young kid, BJ, you were raised in a household. Your parents were both choir. Was it choir teachers?
Directors.
Choir directors. Okay. And so they know the art of singing and everything mm-hmm. like that. They obviously pass that stuff down to you, right?
It naturally happened, not necessarily like they sat down and literally taught me things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was just in our blood to listen and articulate, you know. And because it was a natural love, it was more like an effortless thing, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you had to sit down and learn piano, then you like piano. No, we liked it before we sat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't it wasn't a forced thing. It was like
not at all.
You
not
just
all.
Say you grew into it. It was around.
It was never not around. Honestly, yeah. Never not around. Music was always in my family and my blood. My grandmother played guitar. You know?
Yeah.
What I'm yeah. So it's it's just in my blood.
Yeah. So very musical family. Then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like what was influencing you as a kid then? What were you listening
man,
to?
I had a childhood, man. As a kid, I had a real childhood. I went outside, played. There was no internet, you know.
Sure.
I was just, like, kicking it, you know. It was, man.
But there had to have been something.
There had to
been
something
back
the
then
nine.
That kind of grabbed you as a kid, right?
I think everything grabbed me. I mean, of course, in my neighborhood, hip-hop was always on the rise. So that's always, like, one of the biggest parts of my life. Like, if mm-hmm. I had to pick the music for my life soundtrack, it would definitely be hip-hop influence for sure.
Yeah.
Having that and having gospel music in my life and having R&B and soul and understanding funk and jazz and the blues, I think all of that just coincides to, and it reminds me of things that were naturally in me to let alone understand what to call it, label it, or understand what that feeling was that I felt the whole time.
Yeah.
Country music is very much a part of soul music, if people really don't understand. I think the stories, the melodies, the passion, the conviction, as the listener, all of those things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And then
sure.
I feel like the heart, just it's everything about country music, I think, reminds me of soul music. I think it has its own style and twang, and I definitely respect that individuality that it has.
Sure.
But it reminds me like a cousin of soul music.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say it's a close cousin to blues as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of like old country, like, I mean, it was about strife, right? It was about working to get something better.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Almost, you know?
Yeah, it was the we all want to be hero story. We all want to grow and become something. Yeah, it was growing, making something out of nothing, very much so.
Yeah, it wasn't all lead belly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
No silver spooning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I think that's one of the cool parts about everyday life, even those that sit high and look low, you know what I'm saying? They have hard days too, and I feel like it's times where we all feel the same way within 24 hours a day.
Sure, yeah. Sure, man,
absolutely.
And it's really interesting that you said too that you've been influenced by all sorts of different types of music too,
uh-huh.
because this album, in my mind, mm-hmm. that just came out on Motown,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, not just, but back
yeah,
in February.
I understand. Yeah, yeah.
has got, like, the whole album is full of different genres of music, man. Down to, like, from soul to hip-hop to rap to indie rock.
Yeah,
like,
pop, yeah.
Pop, yeah. R&B. I mean, it's got
Thank
it
you
all,
for understanding that, man. I appreciate
it's
that.
It's all in there. It's yeah. it's amazing. It's an amazing album, and Thank it you. Really takes you on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes up on this album is the intro that you do.
Mm.
And it's very kind of, it's kind of a heartfelt, like, explanation of who you are really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Is basically the gist of of the intro. Why did you choose to put that at the beginning of your album?
Because when you get an album, there's not an a little hologram of you to describe every little
sure.
detail that they should pick up, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give them enough to put them in a certain mind state in before receiving the music, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of tell people who you are.
Yeah, it kind of takes them... if you notice, every TV show's intro, it transforms you out of the mind of whatever you saw before this or whatever show was on before this to
yeah.
bring you into our world.
Okay.
So if it starts
okay.
from the trees, it brings you down to the ground. Now we're at the coffee shop and we're zooming in. Now we're in the house with the kids. They're running around. You're seeing your favorite actors coming in, singing
yeah.
a song. That's what it is. It simply transforms you from, and it takes you on a journey, but that is the beginning of the journey to take you away from where you were to bring you into our world. Simple as that. It brings you from the street to the driveway. And then we open the door. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. That makes so much sense now that you say it. And I don't think I've ever heard anything like that before.
What's the truth, man? It's the truth.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
That's a really cool idea. How did you come up with that?
I think that's just how I understand why I love visuals. Like, even now, right?
Yeah.
So they're showing videos... And the sound we're hearing is not what we're watching.
No.
But you're yet loving what you're seeing, regardless if it's matching the video or not, right? Other than the music that's playing.
Is this the Bone Thugs and Harmony song?
No, it's Dear Mama.
Oh, okay.
But to just pretty much... no, this is...
We're trying to figure out what the video is. You can't see this at home, but we're trying to figure out what this video is that we're watching.
I think it's Hail Mary.
Is it Hail Mary?
Yep. I think it's Hail Mary.
Was that video made after?
That's why the scares them.
Was that video made after Tupac was dead?
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
That's a good
question. Yeah.
Shed so many tears. Boom. So check it out, though.
There you go.
But I think me understanding that vision and that kind of breakdown that I did was... understanding why I like visual without sound.
Sure, yeah.
And imagining what sound would be perfect to go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember that, but you forget all of that. Now you're in the studio or you on stage, right? And my intro for my show even, I feel like it starts that transition out of whatever's been played before me. It's always about the walk out of wherever you're going into where you're going without knowing you're taking a journey. That's the whole focus. In life, if we knew when... our mom would die, we would act differently, right?
Oh, sure.
If we knew when the boss was going to give us a raise, we would, you know. If we knew when all the big things would happen, we would act different. But the whole key and the whole objective is how are you acting when the back is turned?
Yeah.
And that's how you get rewarded.
Nice.
Straight up.
I like that, man.
So,
I like that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And like I said before, I love the new album.
I love the
older stuff that you've done as well.
Thank you.
Especially the soul music that you've made.
Thank you.
And you've definitely got the voice for it.
Thanks, man.
Pardon me, this is all my fault not doing a total amount of research, but I didn't listen to the whole EP that you had done before this full length.
The Mafia Project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more all soul music?
No, that's more R&B.
Is it more R&B?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So a lot more R&B on that.
So was it a conscious decision to was this just music that you were just writing, like, Like, stuff was just coming to you, you were working with other people, stuff was just coming to you guys.
A little bit of all
or
of
was
that.
You, or were you thinking about it in terms of, like, let's make a hip-hop song, let's make a rap song, let's make a, you know, let's make an R&B song, let's make a soul song?
A lot of times, that last point when you said, let's make a, that comes after you found out what you got.
Sure.
You could have four tires, a frame, an engine, and a motor, but it's not put together. You're like, okay, let's make a car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not
a car. I love how you speak in metaphor. I love it.
It's not a car until it's put together, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how the music is.
Sure.
You begin to see what you have, and you begin to create that. But it's also been the other three things you said, working with friends, and we love to work and make music just because. We call music work because it is what feed us, and that's the only reason why we say that.
Yeah.
We love to make music and create, so simply that. We don't like to wait till we don't like to clean up before mom comes home. We just like to be, you know, clean and then be good, you know. And that's just a part of us loving and having a passion for what we do and really respecting and accepting responsibility of really like, yo, we don't take it lightly that we can create and do what we do, you know.
Sure.
So
sure.
We just really want to kick ass at it, you know, much as possible.
So when did this whole thing start for you, man? Like, when did it become a thing that not only a passion but like I want to do this for my job? This is what I want to do with the rest of my life.
I had dreams in elementary, but high school was when I was like, it's over. Nothing else is happening but this.
Yeah.
High school.
So how did that come about? You do like a talent show or something like that?
Nah, not even just a talent show. I would just sit there and visualize and dream and, and imagine, just create with my brain, bro. Like I really believe it's power and life and death in your tongue, what you can speak and what you can speak into existence. And I really, really, really believe that. And it started here. Uh-huh. I had dreams of it, man. I had people speaking into my life. I had people that saw it and people prophesied to me before.
Yeah.
Never did tarot readings or anything, tarot cards, anything like that. But, you know, I just have people that that are very powerful around me that can really hear from God and can tell me things
like
that
who?
I never would imagine them knowing.
Your
my
parents,
mom is one of them.
Yeah,
Sometimes it's random people, man. I had somebody approached me in a grocery store and told me she told me it was something I was going through in my life, and she told me everything that was going on, what was about to happen, and how I should rock through it.
Yeah?
And it happened.
And you took that to heart. Like, you...
Bro, that's God, bro.
You followed that.
I think God sends people to you to, you know, for a reason.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember as a child, my mama always told me the Bible says there is warning before destruction.
Okay.
And I didn't apply that just the end of the world.
Yeah.
I apply that to anything. The destruction could be something telling me to leave here right now. And I say, come on, man, let's go to the van. We can finish this. Keep the mic on. Keep everything on. Just grab your bags. And we walk out this door and we be at the van. By the time we close the van door, somebody shoots this place up. You know, it's been like places, times where I left the club and I went online the next day and saw four people dead, you know, from where I just left. It's been all kind of crazy things. And it's not always like the biggest, loudest voice. Sometimes it's just, you know,
a feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to always be attentive to that and your surroundings. Chicago kind of helped teach me that. My mom kind of helped me keep the spiritual side of my ear being open, in a sense, and my antennas being up. And I just kind of combined all of that in life, man. I'm the youngest of three. My brothers were very hard on me and forcing me to use my brain and thinking and having common sense. And I learned that common sense is not common.
Now, but was that's true.
Yeah.
That's a wiser words never spoken. Yeah. But was it more of a thing where like your brothers showed you this via like picking on you? Bullying?
No bullying. I was just
Were they taking you under the wing and like really teaching you stuff?
Yeah, but it was a very aggressive learning thing. We had it's a very manly lessons around here, man. You know, it's tough love.
Sure. Sure.
You know, growing up in the hood, and not just my brothers, but, you know, the big brothers in the hood, too. It's tough love, man, and you learn that, but that teaches you about real life. By the time you graduate from the school of hard knocks, you understand that the life is a little bit different than how you saw before you entered the school of hard knocks.
Sure, sure. Did you grow up in Chicago?
Yeah, from birth. Same house from birth to the house that I left out of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
You still like going back?
Absolutely.
Is your mom still there?
Nah, my mom just got to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure things out, where they want to nest that on the West Coast. But I'm so happy that they're much closer. And, you know, try to put more effort into going out that way to see them, because they're like an hour out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if I don't put more effort into singing, it's almost like they're still living in Chicago, you know?
Yeah,
so
sure.
You got to kind of just take the extra initiative to, you know, make time to go out there and come out there and, you know, whatever could happen, man, but take advantage of what we couldn't before.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like just talking with you and meeting you for a little bit here, buddy, like, sounds like family is paramount to you.
Oh,
Family is paramount to your life. One of the songs on your album, which has an amazing accompanying video, and I urge people to go and see it, is oh God, why am I?
That's
why am
good.
I spacing? Woman's World.
Thank you for calling it Woman's World. Some people call it Woman's Worth, getting it confused with Maxwell's song. So I don't even correct them either. I don't correct
it. I'll take it.
It makes
I'll
them, and two, it throws like a little salt on the conversation, man. I don't like doing that to people. I understand what you mean, and I don't take it bad, so I'm not going to correct you.
Wait a minute.
It's Woman's World.
It's Woman's World.
Yeah,
right? Okay,
yeah. Somebody interviewed me yesterday, and they said Woman's Worth, and Maxwell had a very big song. It was a single called Woman's Worth.
Oh.
But I wasn't going to correct her and make her. I didn't want to steal her moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I understood what she meant, and I understood her passion for it.
You know, I really appreciate it.
So that was so funny, man. But I appreciate you saying the right song. When you said it right, I was like, my dog.
But it's a fantastic song.
Yeah,
and
it's
almost like it's a total, it's the total opposite end of the James Brown song, Man's World, right?
Hey, man, you're very smart, man.
Is that how you wrote that?
My business partner, Cornelio Austin, he's a genius, man. He's a musical genius and an office genius. And he was supposed to be in the office, but he was in the studio this particular day. And he had an idea. And when he first said it, I was like, I don't know, bro. Y'all started and now come in and join and help the process. But I want to see, you know, how to approach it from your foundation. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And they began to do it, him and my brother Aaron. And I walked in the room. I was like, whoa. It was perfect for how I felt. It's like they spoke for me without me speaking. James Brown simply says, this is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl.
Yeah.
The world just knows this is a man's world. They don't pay attention to the, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or girl. Which is the most important part.
Sure, yeah.
And I wanted to take that and make that my beginning.
Make that the front.
Yeah, flip-flop it exactly how you said it. And I think it's amazing to have something to salute women and thank them and appreciate them.
Of course.
At a time where they can be called bitches and hoes and sluts and thots and everything else in every other song that we love and don't love. You know, I love it sometimes and I hate it too. But I feel like I just wanted to take a moment, a classic moment, a classy moment, and really put them on a pedestal and really thank the ones that really, really, really know that they go so hard for us, take our bullshit, still make us food, know we're lying and still massage our back. Like, you know, it's amazing, man. What is life without a woman, man?
It's not much. And I've got three of them in my life. I've got two little daughters.
Awesome, man. Beautiful.
And we were watching, and I don't care what your political views are. Who gives a shit?
I don't care about
my 5-year-old daughter, right, is sitting in front of the TV
and
watching Hillary Clinton speak.
Uh-huh.
Right? First woman ever to be nominated for president.
Yeah.
And it was a moment where it was like, it was bringing a little bit of, you know, a little bit of water in my face.
Yeah, because you realized what was going on.
Totally. She doesn't have any idea. Yeah. And I asked her, too, and I was like, do you have any idea of what's going on here, Tatum? Mm-hmm. That's her name, Tatum. And she said, no. And I said, this is the first woman ever that would be nominated for president of our country.
Yeah.
And she said, that's dumb.
That's like telling her now at this age that boys marry girls.
Right.
Why?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally. But to her, it's like, well, why wouldn't there be?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's like it should have been happened.
Right. Right. And the same for you know, a little kid staring up at Barack Obama. Why wouldn't there be a first black president?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, and it was just a moment last night where I got to feel that.
Yeah. I absolutely understand what you mean. I have all nieces. I have no children.
Mm-hmm.
But I have all nieces right now, and I have god kids, man. And it's just, it's crazy to understand what they're beginning to understand or soon will understand.
It's scary, dude. It's scary to think of, like, what you're going to have. Because there's a lot of shit
you gotta
going
explain,
on.
You got to explain, man. You're going to have to explain
things, how do you explain shit like that? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's next level,
like,
man.
I don't know. I don't know.
Next level. But, hey, man.
You're lucky you're not a dad yet.
But what's crazy is I'm like a second, third dad being an uncle, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But no. BJ. You're fun dad.
Fun dad.
That's
I like
your
that
job.
Term, fun dad.
That's your job.
Fun dad. I like
fun
that
dad.
Term.
All right.
I'm rolling with that. I'm going to take that with me. I'm going to take that one with me.
So, back to the music a little bit. Back to the song, Woman's World.
Yeah.
Whose idea was the video? To bring your mom and the little girl in.
That must have been
one of your nieces, right?
Yeah, that was my niece. She, at that time, she was the youngest of the family, you know, the youngest. It was Maisha Brooks. It was her idea. Maisha Brooks, she was like my label manager at that time at Motown. Now she's my manager.
All right.
And she's a visionary, man. She's a beautiful soul, man. She's a gangster, though, bro. She don't take no mess, bro. But
doesn't take any shit.
I think she's
good for her.
Yeah, I think she's such a genius, and I love learning from her in the hard ways and the easy ways. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was her idea, and I think it made so much sense because my mom, you know, lived in Chicago at the time. I don't see them as much as I would like to. Sometimes I go home from work. When they lived in Chicago, I would go home and I wouldn't be able to see them at all during that visit because I would be radio, TV, sound check, show, and she had to work so early at that time. You know, she's retired now, but it was just so crazy sometimes where I couldn't see them and I would be there for maybe a day, you know. So my dad would just be like, yo, fuck it, I'm coming to hang out with you at the radio station. We gonna get some time in. I thought that was super cool.
That's awesome.
That he got to see what we do, you know, the realness of the life. And you know, it's pretty cool to still have my parents be able to see it, man. I really wish my grandparents could see it, but to have my parents see it, I can't be mad. I'm definitely happy that God allowed that.
That's cool, man. And it just like, I mean, it's very apparent in that video too. Like your mom is tearing up. You bring her some flowers. You were tearing up a little bit.
Yeah, very much.
I didn't want to point that out.
No, it's all good. I wanted them to. They cut that out the first edit. I was kind of mad.
Did they really?
I'm like, yo, if we did all of this and you don't show my tears, what are we doing this for?
Yeah.
Show
what's the
authenticity of the real. Yeah. Give them the real moment, bro.
Yeah, like, dude. Yeah. That was a great video. I urge everybody that's listening to this to go check that out if you haven't already.
What we're going to do is
we're going to go to our second musical break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more.
Let's do it.
With BJ, the Chicago kid.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
But this is a woman's world. Money just don't compare. Far more valuable than a house made of gold. Rareness and beauty, just a few qualities. Stand on your own two feet, always proud to be. Strength when I'm weak, baby. Truth is, God knew what he was doing. This is a woman. Tell me who can give life to a baby boy and turn him into a man. Hey, true rareness and beauty, just a few qualities. Stand on your own two feet, always proud to be. Strength when I'm weak, baby, weak, baby. God knew what he was doing. This is a woman. A woman.
this is right, a woman. So to go back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Music has always been a part of your life.
Uh-huh.
Around high school time, you decide that, like, this is what you want to do. This is what you want to make of yourself.
But, of course, Dad was like, not until you give me my diploma. My diploma was his diploma. You give me my diploma, and then you go do what you want to do. I had to graduate.
You had to graduate.
You had to graduate on time.
That's good parenting right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you graduate.
Yeah.
And you start making a play for it. You make a run for this business.
Absolutely.
Man, like, were there stars in your eyes at first when you started? I mean, has that changed at all for you? Like, I mean, working in the music business, just doing what I do, hearing stories from musicians and touring acts and stuff like that, like, this is a really hard business to grind it out in, man.
It is.
People take advantage of it.
You have to want it. You have to want it. Even after you've been bent over, no Vaseline, do you still want to survive in this game? Most people have a bad experience, mistake or on purpose, and they leave. They choose a new profession of whatever.
Sure.
Not even just music, just in life. And I just really believe that, you know, I'm the guy that get punched in the face and I laugh.
Yeah.
Touch the blood, look at it, taste it a little bit, let it charge me up.
You've been punched a lot?
Nah. But I just understand. I'm describing the guy in the movie. That's my persona.
Sure.
I take a punch, but you better be ready for what I'm about to give you for punching.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't take the punch and be like, "Oh, I let you know I love that you just punched me."
Yeah.
And I'm about to fuck you up.
Because you're gonna take it and you're gonna turn it into energy to put into your art.
That's what it's about. Always understanding or having a way to transfer those negative feelings, thoughts, whatever, into positive.
Sure.
That's where most people end up on drugs, crazy houses, commit suicide, all these negative things. And I feel like that's because they don't have a way to transfer, or they've lost the way of transferring.
Okay.
Or haven't figured that out.
All right. Well, let's say this. Let's say you are the next Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Or you're the next Kanye West.
Okay.
Right? What do you do in that situation? You think you could keep it together too?
I don't know. I think that's what makes me human, sitting here talking to you right now.
Sure.
I really don't know, man. This is my most honest.
Because I don't know if I could.
I think about it all the time. Imagine not being able to go buy a burger from your favorite burger joint
because you'd be mobbed by people or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Right?
And the enjoyment would be totally, you know, just totally evaporated, you know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that feeling. But yet, it's some things that come with things that we don't know until we get it. And it's too late and you rock with it. You have to deal with it.
Do you aspire to any of that?
I definitely want the world to know my music. But saying I want the world to know my music, I guess in other words, is saying I want to be famous.
Yeah, yeah.
In some words, you know?
In some way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And my heart, I don't care about fame. But it's hard for you to affect people's lives in some way and them not want to tell you or show you. And I appreciate that. That's a part of the dream as well, though. That's the part of the dream when your mom come and wake you up, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, sure.
The main part of
that's
the dream.
That's the part of the dream that can turn into a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah, and that's the part of the dream where you, like, that's the end of the dream, you know? But we only focus on the middle of the dream.
Yeah.
We only focus on it's the man's world part, you know?
Right, right.
We only focus on people singing the words with you, hands up, lighters up, cell phones out, dark lights, you know? Yeah, but that's not the first thing you see in the dream.
Yeah.
That's the middle, you know?
Right.
And I pray that I continue to be open to everything that I should be open to. And still, I pray that I still continue to have a line and know how to deal with people, even if that ever happens.
Sure.
I can't imagine being Kanye West and I can't go to Harold's Chicken in Chicago anymore.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being Kendrick Lamar and I can't go to Tam's in Compton anymore. I can't imagine not being able to go and just hug your past for 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally, man. Like, well, so what was it, though, working with those guys? What was it like working with those guys?
Honestly, man, just like right here working with you, man, it was cool, man.
Did it come back, though? How did it come around?
I had friends that knew Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Before he moved from Chicago, they introduced me. He saw my talent, I saw his, and I thought that he was dope, same here. And we just began to try to make music together to see you know, what would catch, what would feel good, this and another, and it grew into that. Same thing with Kendrick Lamar. Cool friends introduce cool friends to other cool friends, and it makes the world a little more cooler.
Yeah,
that's how I
Do you ever get nervous, like working with people like that? I know especially with Kendrick, like you worked with him before he really exploded, and then but you worked with him again on this record as well. But I mean, do you get nervous like working with other people?
Nah, but it is a moment of you being a fan.
Sure.
And I always say it like this: you have 5 minutes to go in the bathroom, wash your face, and come back and get your ass. I gotta get to work. You better understand you're supposed to be here. So you know, you fan out when you go home, fan out in the car.
Yeah.
But in here, you are supposed to be here. And saying that to myself really relaxed me and helped me understand and remember my purpose.
Sure.
I lose the fan a little bit and become the fam.
Yeah.
F-A-M instead of the F-A-N.
I like that.
Yeah.
Once again, speaking in metaphor, man. You're really good at that.
Thanks, man.
That must be kind of like a rap, hip-hop kind of thing that I just don't understand.
I'm a songwriter as well, man.
I think I
found a way to kind of just, transfer, man. The transfer, bro. The transfer is serious. Yeah.
So are you working on new stuff as of now?
Absolutely.
Like, you guys still?
I've never stopped working, man.
Yeah?
Never stopped working. We did a 45th anniversary of What's Going On with Marvin Gaye.
Oh, my God.
Released about a month ago.
Was that on Motown?
It's a collector's album as well.
Yeah?
And what else? This tour has definitely been freaking amazing. In My Mind World Tour.
Yeah?
It's been freaking amazing as well. I'm a part of this show called Shots Fired.
Okay.
This comes on Fox next year. It premieres right after the Super Bowl. It's tapped into the current state of the news and politics and the police issues.
So what are you doing on the show? What's your role?
I'm the voice of the show. I'm the singing voice of the show.
Shut up.
Yeah, the opening credits, other songs in between,
what?
Emotional moments. Each episode, we're in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I'm definitely going to check that out. Help paint a picture for the emotion of something that is so necessary right now.
So you're going to be focusing on like things like Black Lives Matter, the movement.
Not necessarily
behind
Black
that,
Lives
like,
Matter, because like, that actually is an organization now. It's not a phrase anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
well, I knew it was.
I at least wanted to be correct, but it's involved in just the tension and the story that this tells is a very unique story. Is all I can tell you.
Uh-huh.
It's a very unique story and. It's a what would you do kind of show.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Right on.
Shouts out to Shot Fire.
That's awesome, man.
Yes, sir.
So, and then I guess just one last question because I got to let you go here, but Motown.
Yes, sir.
You got a record deal with Motown, man.
Yeah,
for your
man.
First full-length album. That is amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
I don't even know what else to say to that. Like,
truly an honor. Truly an honor. I wouldn't have thought about that happening myself. I couldn't have planned it better myself either. It's crazy how much of a fan I am of Motown before becoming family.
You had to have been kind of fanning out on that one.
Nah, not really. It was crazy. Not really.
You are a liar.
I promise, bro. I didn't. It's definitely had. I definitely had moments where I had realization.
Yeah.
You know, moments and digesting the thought and the reality of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No craziness, though.
No craziness. You just take it.
No
for what
pressure,
it is,
man. I think
it's just the next step. I naturally embody
what those guys naturally embodied back then.
Sure, sure.
A little bit of the cross, a little bit of the corner.
Yeah.
A little bit of living, a little bit of living a risky life. Some days, having fun. Sometimes having too much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I think about it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's awesome, man.
Yes,
well, BJ, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, man.
Thank you, man. This has been a really fucking cool interview, man.
Oh, good. Good. Yes, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Indeed, indeed.
And say hi to your mom for me, will you?
Hey,
she
mom.
Just seems
sorry
like
after
the
I just
sweetest
cursed.
Woman.
She's probably going to hear this. What's up, mom? He says what's up, too.
I'm sorry, BJ's mom. I do a lot of cursing as well. I apologize for that.
No, it's all good. And saying what's up to the kids, too, as well, man.
I will. Thanks,
blessings,
BJ.
Bro. Thank you.
What a sweetheart of a man. God, dude. That was great. I usually dread doing interviews in that setting, in a bar where there's a lot of background noise and stuff. But as we started going, with that chat with BJ. Man, everything just kind of melted away in the background, dude, and it was just me and him just chatting it up, dude, just talking about his life, and that was it was fascinating. I would love to have him back on the show in the backyard. BJ, if you're listening, I would love to have you back on and really just get into it. Because I feel like that guy is fascinating, and there is a lot more layers of the onion to peel back on this guy's life. And I would love to chat with that guy again. Damn. What a talented man. I don't even understand how somebody even grows into having a voice like that. I don't get it. I don't get how that happens. It's insane. Okay. All right. The song that you heard in the middle, if you didn't figure that out, is Woman's World. All of these songs, by the way, most of them have fantastic videos that accompany them. And I would highly suggest that you go and check out the videos on YouTube that are available. The one that we're going to go out with today is amazing as well. Starring none other than Hannibal Buress, the very funny Hannibal Buress. It's very good, so check that out. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a 5-star rating and helps us out a lot in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and now on the Spreaker app, or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed with your podcatcher. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast or follow us on Twitter at @airraidnet. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Bring it up in conversation. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother. We'll even take your cousins. That's right. We'll even take your cousins. Keep on spreading the word on social media. We really, really appreciate it. Let's get more people listening to the show, shall we? World domination, folks. All right. We're going to go out today with this song, The New Cupid, featuring Kendrick Lamar, off of the all-new album on Motown Records, In My Mind by BJ the Chicago Kid. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We had a great conversation with you. We hope you'll return next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Have a great week, everybody. We love you.
I heard many stories how we made people all around the world fall in love. Well, I got a call just the other day telling me where Cupid was. I said, Cupid's too busy. Everybody, I see, I know, some people really think they in love, but how without a love song, something's going wrong, when Cupid's too busy in the club, at the bar, rolling up. As I play out the Commodores.
My fate destroyed. My heart don't work. I'm unemployed. To fill in this void. Don't know what I need. Some pussy, some paper, some counseling, maybe some mini, some weed. I'm looking for you. I'm checking for her. I'm parking lot pimping. I'm honking at women. I'm all on the curb. Skirt, skirt, skirt. Pump my brake, mini,
up,
skirt,
hey,
skirt,
happening?
Skirt. Don't walk away, walk away. I'm fishing for compliments. This is a fairy tale. I know you're very well. Fuck all your promises.
Fuck all your promises.
I know what time it is.
I know what time it is.
I'm just a realist.
I'm just a realist.
I am the realist.
I am the realist.
Reality is fatality. Curse on the future for family, wife, and some kids. I'm looking for you.
I'm looking for you.
I'm checking for her.
I'm checking for her.
I'm parking lot pimping. I'm honking at women. I'm all on the curb. Skirt, skirt, skirt. Pump your brake, mini. Skirt, skirt, skirt. Don't walk away, walk away.
I promise
you, it's too big.